that'll work. Now, last Wednesday night, we began some theological studies, and we dealt with the Trinity and demonstrated from the Word of God that, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, is a true statement, but that one Lord is manifested by three individual but real persons. Yet they are one in action, one in spirit, one in motive, one in essence. So that when the Bible says the Lord our God is one Lord, it's an absolute fact. When the Bible says over in 1 John 5:7 that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one, that's an absolute fact. Now, if you want me to explain that, I don't know how to explain that. I just know it's so. Amen. And we gave you verses last week to show that in at least seven areas where God works in salvation and redemption and in the work in the believer, God the Father operates, God the Son operates, and God the Holy Spirit operates. So now tonight we're going to deal with the Holy Spirit as God. And in the next couple of weeks we'll deal with the other two persons and then some other things about God. But tonight we're going to deal with God the Holy Spirit as God. And the reason we're going to do that is because people have all kinds of really weird and strange ideas about who or what the Holy Spirit is. And in certain charismatic circles, they've got the Holy Ghost being one person and the Holy Spirit being another. Which, how they do that, I don't know. It's like I went to a revival meeting one time and they had this little Southern Baptist guy who was preaching. And he was preaching out of Matthew 24, and he gets down to the close to the end of the chapter there, and it said, except those days should be shortened, no flesh be saved, you know, but for the elect's sake. And there's a verse down there that says, but the very elect. And this guy stops and just as serious as a heart attack. He said, now I know who the elect are, but honestly, and he said, I've never been able to figure out who the very elect are. If you're a Bible student, that's hilarious. I must be the only one. Oh, goodness. That's, you know why most preachers just do popular preaching instead of Bible study? God, the Holy Spirit. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible said, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And I think it starts up there talking about what knoweth the things of man except the Spirit of man, what knoweth the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, so God has a spirit. Matter of fact, you're told that God is a spirit. Amen? And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, God has a spirit. God is a spirit. But God the Father and God the Holy Spirit aren't the same person. They're not in the same place, and they aren't assigned the same titles. And even when they work in conjunction, their functions are different. And so God the Holy Spirit is a separate person in the Godhead. Now, it's important to understand that the Holy Spirit is called, is referred to as God. I know people will pray in Jesus' name, and they'll pray to God the Father, but they would never dream of praying to the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know why that is, because he's as much God as Jesus Christ. He's as much God as God the Father. Matter of fact, you can't communicate with either one without him. Amen. You can't be heard without him. And the truth is, and I'll show you this in a minute, that if you have Jesus Christ, it's in the person of the Holy Spirit. And if you have God the Father, it's in the person of the Holy Spirit. And that if you have the Holy Spirit, you have the whole Godhead. Amen? All right. Let's look at some of that for a little while, and we'll go home. Brother Lewis, would you please turn that heat off? I mean, I got both them things going, and it's just cooking me up here. I feel like Christmas turkey. My wife thinks I'm a year-round turkey. All right, in Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, the Holy Spirit is definitely called, referred to as God. In verse 3, the Bible said, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So the Holy Spirit is equated as God. He said, you didn't lie to men. You lied to the Holy Ghost, and when you did, you lied to God. So God, the Holy Ghost, is God. Now, he is the power of the Godhead. He is the mover of the Godhead. The power behind everything that God does is done through the power and the energy and the agency of the Holy Spirit. Somebody said one time, God thought it, Jesus bought it, the Holy Spirit wrought it. Well, that's pretty good, because that's pretty much how it goes. The Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit doesn't do it, it doesn't get done. In the spiritual realm, without the Holy Spirit, you are totally and completely ineffectual. Now, every Christian ought to be praying all the time to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you ought to live your life so that the Holy Spirit can work and move in you. Because without him, God can't do anything through you. God the Father is in heaven, and God the Son is in heaven. Yet you have all three persons of the Godhead in you bodily when you have the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that does all the work. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But it was the Spirit that moved upon the face of the deep. See? When you get saved, it's the Spirit that puts you in Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. It's always the Holy Spirit that does the work. Now, we Baptists don't have much to do with the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be called charismatic. And so we beat ourselves out of the power of God and the blessings of God, because we're afraid somebody will identify us with a bunch of nuts across town. Do you know where the joy of the Lord is at? It's in the Holy Ghost. Where's the power of God? It's in the Holy Ghost. Where's the peace of God? It comes from the Holy Ghost. Where's the mind of Christ? It comes from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. You have not need that anyone teach you, because you have the mind of Christ. Well, if any man have not the Spirit, you're not saved. But who's in you? Well, it's the Holy Ghost. So, the Holy Spirit is the power of God to do whatever it is that God does. And so, if God does anything in your life, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. If God does anything through you for the cause of Christ, it's the Holy Spirit in you. Amen. If you managed to accomplish anything, it was because the Holy Spirit used you. And so there's a great need in Baptist churches to teach and to inform about the Holy Spirit, that Christians would live so that God's Spirit would not be hindered nor quenched, but that the Holy Spirit might have free reign and free access, that you might be a vessel meet for the Master's use. We ought to pray all the time, Lord, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Then we ought to do whatever's necessary that the Spirit might fill us and use us. Because the only power we have. Most folks are so busy doing things that we forget that the only thing that's going to last, the only spiritual thing that's going to be real, is what the Holy Spirit does. We do not put enough emphasis on being filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you the truth. If speaking in tongues gets you filled with the Holy Ghost, I'd pray for tongues. I would. I mean, whatever it takes. Now, it doesn't. Right? You don't have to speak in tongues. So I'm not going to mess with it. But I would if it was necessary. If I believed that, that's exactly what I'd do. Amen. I know this, that when you're prayed up and confessed up and living right so that the Spirit can use you and fill you, that's when your peace is the greatest. That's when your joy is the greatest. That's when your desire to witness is at its greatest. And it's when you'll have the most success in your Christian life. But you do things to grieve the Spirit, quench the Spirit, you lose the power, you lose the peace, you lose the joy. If you lose those three things, you have much left. Now, the Holy Spirit possesses all of the attributes of God. We talked about last week that God had three primary attributes: omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. Well, and we demonstrated that the Trinity possessed all three of those. Well, the Holy Spirit himself also possesses those same three attributes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, the Bible said, "The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." So the Spirit has omniscience. He searches all things. There's nothing the Holy Spirit doesn't know. He is, in fact, the mind of Christ. And so everything God knows, the Holy Spirit knows. He searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Then the Holy Spirit not only has omniscience, he has omnipresence. In Psalm 139, verse 7, the Bible said, "Whither shall I go from thy Spirit? If I make my nest among the stars, thou art there, and if I descend into hell, thou art there." So the Spirit is everywhere. Now that does not make us pantheists or anything of the nature. We don't believe that trees possess God, and God is in the leaves, and God is in the air, and God is in the bubbling brook. And I don't believe that, but I believe the presence of the Spirit of God is everywhere, even though it's not in everything. Amen. I mean, if you want to be a Buddhist or something, you get off on all that nonsense, you know. Talk to the leaf on the tree. You need a little white powder before you start that, though. Now, the Holy Spirit has omniscience, omnipresence. He also has omnipotence. In Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible said, "Not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." The power of God is the Holy Spirit. Everything God ever did, creation, salvation, regeneration, all that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now look, I'm a body of soul and spirit. I got a lot of soul and a lot of spirit. In these last days, I have a lot of body. Now, if I do work, what part of me does it? You say, well, it takes all three of you. You know, the body without the spirit is dead, and if you're dead, the soul departs. So the three of us work in conjunction. But which one of us reaches down and picks up the plate? The body, see? There's one specific part of me that actually does the work. And that's the way it is with the Godhead. The one who actually accomplishes the work is the Holy Spirit. And by the way, he does that through people. The Holy Spirit, in this dispensation, without people, is powerless. God's work can only go forward, it can only be accomplished, as people yield themselves to be used by the Holy Spirit. That's when somebody says, why are you always preaching, put God first, put God first, put God first, put him ahead of country, put him ahead of family? Because only as you yield yourself to him can God get anything done in this old world. And when we are so tied up in our own lives, our own families, our own faults, our own ambitions, God can't use us. And consequently, the work of Christ in the world goes to seed. It's just that simple. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him anything? That's found in Isaiah 40:13. You can't teach him anything because he knows everything. Amen. You want to counsel the Spirit of God? Now, the Holy Spirit possesses all the attributes of deity. He is called God. He is the third person of the Godhead, and he is equal with the Father and the Son. He is not inferior in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Matter of fact, last week when we were talking about the Trinity, we showed that it takes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to do all the things necessary to redeem you. It takes all three persons of the Godhead doing their part for regeneration, salvation, all that stuff. So let's look at the Holy Spirit as the third person and as an equal with God the Father and God the Son. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, when we baptize, we don't do it right, but we do it like everybody else does. Because if we did it right, everybody gets their feelings hurt, you know. If you really did it right, we'd say, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Lord, and we'd baptize you. That's the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But we don't do it right. We acquiesce, you know, and say, upon your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and we dunk you. Because people expect that. They don't feel baptized if you don't do it that way. I had a fellow come to me one time, this old deacon. Now, he'd been saved, and he'd been a deacon over 30 years. And he came to me one night, and he was all tore up. And he was worried about his salvation. I said, brother, what in the world, after all these years, has got you upset? He said, preacher, I'm not sure about my baptism. He said, when they baptized me, he said, when I came up out of the water, he said, the top of my head wasn't wet. And this old guy had been worrying about his salvation because his baptism wasn't right. Now, the truth is, you save human beings whether you get baptized or not. You ought to get baptized to obey the Lord, to identify with Christ, and give a profession before the world. But if you don't ever get wet, you still saved. But you'd be surprised how many people have got baptism tied up with salvation. And this old man was worried to death. And I told him, I said, brother, I said, you know, you don't need to get totally wet. I said, you could have got sprinkled or nothing, it would be okay. As long as your heart was in the right place. I said, you ought to quit worrying about it. I said, but if you can't, the thing for you to do, just go up there and see the pastor of this church and tell him you want to get baptized again. You know that old man went and got re-baptized? Because he was, top of his head wasn't wet. People are weird, ain't they? I've got a sign in my study that said, I love humanity. It's people I hate. Where am I at? When you're baptized, all three persons of the Godhead are listed together as co-equal, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He is not inferior. He is not omitted. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, the Bible said, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." All three persons of the Godhead. When you go with God, you go with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In 1 John 5:7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." So explain that. You explain it. I just go so far, buddy, and then I got to stop. There's some things I can't explain. There's some things I don't understand. I believe it. The part I know, the part I can explain, the part I do understand, convinces me that the rest of it is right. But I don't know anybody that can explain it all. Amen. I've got 6 books on systematic theology at my house. I've got Dr. Ruckman's book on theological studies. And nobody can explain that. Nobody. You can read Fair or anything. Them guys drag out all them Greek words and drag out all them lexicons and stuff and spend hours going through the Greek grammar and the... And when they get through, the bottom line is, we don't know. Amen. Save your eyeballs. Save yourself a lot of trouble. Just believe it because God said it. Amen. Worry about the things you can figure out. Now, let me demonstrate very briefly that God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son, and God the Father are equal and the same, yet they're separate. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 and 10. "If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you..." Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And verse 10, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." So Christ is in you, but the Holy Spirit is in you. You know what that verse just said? Let's read again. "If so that the Spirit of God dwell in you," Holy Spirit. "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ..." Well, what's the Spirit of Christ? The Holy Spirit. "He is none of his. And if Christ be in you..." Well, Christ is up in glory. How is Christ in me? Because I have the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. They're all the same, but they're all separate. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" That's a reference to God the Father. Your body is the temple of God. Got it? And what else? "And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." So if I have the Holy Spirit, I have the Father. If I have the Holy Spirit, I have the Son. The truth is, if I'm saved and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, I have the Godhead. Now, I know, you know, when people pray, you know, they look up to heaven and go like this, and they pray real loud. Honest truth is, he's so close he can whisper. Amen. He's right there. Yeah, now, you say, explain it. I can't explain that. I don't know how the eternal I Am sits on the throne in glory, and the only begotten of the Father is at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens, and Christ is in me, and the Father is in me, and I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you're just going to have to wait till you get that glorified body and get home to glory to get all that figured out. What you need to do right now is understand, just believe, accept by faith, that in you, if you're saved, dwells the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are right here in the person of the Holy Spirit, because He is perfectly equal with the Father and the Son. And to have one is to have the other. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. My Father and I are one. Now, us Anglo-Saxons, you know, us white guys, we don't like things we can't figure out and understand. We don't excel in metaphysics and spiritual things. We like concrete things that we can see. Give me a hammer and a shovel, a nail. Give me a piece of machinery. We can figure that out. We understand that kind of stuff. But the abstract, them Orientals just love this stuff. And they're welcome to. I'd much rather preach hellfire and damnation, man. I understand that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible said, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? So in 1 Corinthians 3:16, your body is the temple of God. In 6:19, He's the temple of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, 9, and 10, you have the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19, He's the Holy Ghost. All are in you, and they are all one. 1 John 5:7. Now that's much to think about. That's a lot to try and comprehend. Matter of fact, it's more than we're going to get, but everybody needs to work on that till you get it resolved to such a level as you can live with it. You've got to work on it until you understand it, at least to a level where you can say, I believe it. It's like any other Bible doctrine. It's one thing for me to say it. It's another thing for you to hear it. But it is an entirely different thing for you to believe it in your own heart. To acknowledge it, to admit that it's there, won't do the job. You've got to come to the point on certain Bible doctrines where you say, I believe that. Now, I believe there's a Trinity. I believe there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I've studied that Bible, and the Trinity is in there. I believe that all three of them are equal in power, in essence, and substance, and all that other stuff. I believe they're three separate persons that work in perfect unity. We gave you a bunch of verses last week that showed how the Holy Spirit worked in unity with the Father and the Son. How that happens, how God does that, I don't know. He's God. If I had all the answers, I'd be God. Amen. Somebody said one time, do you understand all the Bible? No. And if I did, I'd know one thing for sure. Somebody no smarter than me wrote it. All right. Watch these verses for a minute, because this is a great mystery to me. I am thrilled to death that there is no disunity in the Godhead. And I am thrilled that there is not an imbalance of power or knowledge in the Godhead. That is, that being equal and being in perfect unity, they always work with absolute precision, knowing all things and having all power and being in all places. There's nothing they don't know, can't see, can't do. Therefore, they never err. God simply cannot make a mistake. Deuteronomy 6:4 said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. 1 John 5:7 said, For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. One Lord, three persons, but they're one. Best illustration I ever saw of the Godhead, the guy took a piece of paper and a ballpoint pen, and he drew a circle on the paper with the pen. And he's illustrating the Trinity. He drew that little circle on there, and he said, now, that's God the Father. And he took that pen, and he traced over the first circle with the pen a second time. He said, that's God the Son. And he took his pen, and he traced around it a third time. He said, that's God the Holy Spirit. How many circles are there? You say, there are one. But in reality, there are three. But you can't tell them apart. I can take it. All right, now, God the Holy Spirit as a person. We've demonstrated, at least I hope we have, that He is all God, not in any inferior in any way to the other persons of the Godhead. But is the Holy Spirit a person, or is He just an influence? There are people who believe that the Holy Spirit is the power of God, but that He's not a person. He's not a corporal being. He doesn't have a body, a substance. Therefore, He's not a personality. Yet in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is described as having all the attributes of personality. You can be a person. How many of y'all believe in a soul? Or a spirit? Are they real? Yes. Are they corporal? No. Okay. What did I miss? Okay. I hate it when they do that because I think they're laughing at me. You know, that's up. Okay. Anyway, I'm sidetracked here now. You can have personality without corporality. You don't have to have a physical body to be a real entity. If that's not so, then you don't have a soul. And there's no such thing as a spirit. Okay. But materialistic man, we only want to believe in those things we can see, feel, taste, touch, and hear. If it doesn't appeal to one of our five senses, we want to dismiss it as not real. And so people have this concept of the Holy Spirit as some kind of a nebulous cloud or an influence or some mystical thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. He has all the attributes of personhood. For example, in 1 Corinthians 12:11, He has a will. Will is an attribute of personality. You ever hear people say, well, He's got a will of His own. She's got a will of His own. Everybody I ever met did. Amen? The only person I ever met that didn't have a will of his own was a dead man. He gave it up. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 12:11, He bestoweth His gifts as He will. Holy Spirit has will, attribute of personality. The Holy Spirit has thought. He can think or reason. Romans 8:27. God knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Spirit's not a mindless force. I don't care what Star Wars tried to portray Him as. And by the way, you can't corrupt Him. He is the incorruptible God. You can corrupt the force and go over to the dark side. Now, the Holy Spirit has a mind. He can think. He possesses the power of thought. Holy Spirit has knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. He searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Think about this for a minute. Now, if you're a Calvinist, you've got a real problem with this. If you're not a Calvinist, you can just let this slide. But if you're a Calvinist, you have a tough time with that verse where it says, the Holy Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Why? He knows all things. Hello? Why would he search all things, yea, the deep things of God? He is God and he knows all things. You have to think about that a while. There's an answer to that, by the way. You just have to dig it up. He has language. 1 Corinthians 2:13. We speak not the words that man's wisdom teacheth, but that which the Spirit teacheth. So he has the ability of communication to express himself not only in thought, but in word. Where did the Bible come from? You say, well, it's the Word of God. Yeah, well, who gave it? The Holy Spirit did. Right? If that's the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit better be God, because it was a Spirit-breathed book. Amen? If the Spirit breathed it and it's the Word of God, then He is God. And He can communicate in word. You know, one of the great things that separates you from animals is you can talk. You can communicate. I know in all the movies these days, they got all the animals communicating. You know, Jurassic Park and all that, they all hunt in packs so they can communicate. That's what we call back home Barbara Streisand. Benji doesn't have flashbacks. The Holy Spirit possesses all the attributes of personality. He can love. Romans 15:30. For the love of the Spirit. Okay? You can read the rest of the verse there. The Spirit can express, feel, love. Well, I'm glad of that. The Bible says God is love. The Holy Spirit is God. Why wouldn't the Holy Spirit love? If God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, how did He do it? What enabled Christ to lay down His life? Spirit of God. Attributes of personality. The Holy Spirit possesses goodness. Nehemiah chapter 9, 20. Thou gavest thy good spirit. He's not an evil spirit. He's not a bad spirit. He's not a malevolent spirit. He is a good spirit. And He does good things. God been good to you? The Spirit of God been good to you? God the Father's been good to you? Christ been good to you? You've got to say amen. Has the Father above been good to you? You just have to say amen. You say, has the Spirit of God been good to you? Yes, sirree. You can't separate them. I know they're divided. I know that one day back there in eternity past somewhere, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost were in perfect unity and unison. And then for purposes known to God and God only, God divided Himself asunder. A body, a soul, and a spirit. that he might work a work of salvation and redemption in this old sin-cursed world. And for those purposes, God is divided today into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, even though he remains one in purpose and unity and essence. But I also know that in Revelation 22, when it's all over and done with, and the millennium is behind, and the new heavens and the new earth come, and God begins eternity, God is in one again. There will be no division and no separation. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost will be a unit like you are right this minute. Amen. That's called heresy in most Bible colleges. But what do we care? We're a little bigger town. Nobody knows us. We can teach the truth till we get big and powerful, and then we'll have to change to keep the money, right? That's what most of them did. Well, I think we'll quit there. We have some other stuff, but I think it's enough to demonstrate that the Holy Spirit is God. He is all God. He's not an inferior God. He's not a force. He is the person of the Holy Ghost, the third part of the eternal Godhead. Amen. Let's bow our head. Brother Lewis, if you would dismiss us tonight.